evening. In chapter number 20, when you find your place, if you will, to stand, please. I appreciate the testimonies this evening, and I'm glad it's not dead. I'm glad we can go to church and enjoy it. I'm glad we weren't coming and dreading getting to come. I'm glad the Lord met with us in every part of the service, and we're going to ask Him if He would to do that again tonight. And do remember to pray for Brother Gravely as he's away preaching tonight, and that the Lord will bring them back safely. But I do have a message on my heart. Lord put on my heart a couple weeks ago, and I just kind of scribbled some things down and came back to it today. And I've been in the book of Jeremiah in my own reading, and it's just amazing to me when you sit down and don't really just read through it real fast, Brother Whitlow, and just kind of spend some time just going over it, how the Lord will bring new things to your mind. And a lot of times I get bogged down in the books of prophecy. And boy, the Lord's been helping me in the book of Jeremiah the past couple weeks. And the Bible said all the Word of God is profitable. And I'm thankful for that. When He takes something I've never seen before, and brings it to my eyes. And what I'll say is nothing new tonight, but it's been helping me. And I believe it's what the Lord would have for us. Book of Jeremiah, chapter number 20, and verse number 1. The Bible said, "Now Pashur, the son of Immer the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which is by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, The Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magor-Missabib. For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends. And they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city, and all labors thereof, and all the precious things thereof, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give into the hands of their enemies, which shall spoil them, and take them, and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there shalt thou die, and shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends, to whom thou hast prophesied lies. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily, everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." Father, we love you tonight. Thank you so much, Lord, for blessing us with your presence this evening already. God, I thank you for encouraging our hearts, Lord, in the song and the testimonies and everything that's been said and done. And we ask for just a few minutes tonight that you would take your word and make it come alive. God, I pray that you would feed our souls and give us exactly what we stand in need of this evening. Lord, hide me behind the cross. May we leave closer to you than when we came. We ask this all in your precious, holy, and wonderful name. Amen. You can be seated. When I begin to study the Bible and I begin to read about the different characters in the Bible, one of my favorite aspects of it is that it gives a unique insight into the struggles and the failures and the letdowns of different characters in the Bible. And we're not hidden from the sins and the failings of the men whose lives we read about within these pages. And you begin to think about all throughout the Old Testament, the different patriarchs and the different men that God used. He doesn't just record the great things about them, but He records their failings and He records their shortcomings. And we can read about the sin of David there with Bathsheba, or we could read about the anger of Moses, or we could read about the struggles of Job. And I'm glad tonight that Christianity is not scared to bring those struggles out. And it's not so weak that it can't handle the criticism that's going to be thrown at it, because without the anger of Moses, we wouldn't have seen the consequences of sin. And without the sin of David, we might not have had the promises of Psalms 51. And so God is strong enough and God is big enough to take our struggles and to take our faults and to take our failings. And He didn't ordain them and He didn't make us do them. But when we do, He can take them and use them for His honor and use them for His glory. And I'm thankful that when I read the Bible, it doesn't just highlight over all those things. But He shows me what these men really faced and these men really endured and these men really struggled with. And when we come to Jeremiah chapter 20 tonight, we're going to find one of the darkest pages in the man by the name of Jeremiah's life. As we begin to study this, Jeremiah is very plain, or the Bible is very plain to show us the depths of human depravity so that we get to see the heights of His grace and the heights of His glory in overcoming all of it. And here in this text, Jeremiah, Brother Freed, is going to get to one of the lowest places in the entire book. But it's interesting that Jeremiah is turning his back on God because he's a preacher that's leaving his pastorate. He's a prophet that's turning his back on the word of the Lord. He is a minister who's walking away from it all. And Jeremiah's been given some wonderful promises, and he's walking away from all of it. Jeremiah is the man whom God told this, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah got told that at the beginning of his ministry, and now he's wanting to throw it all away. God made him this promise in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 8. He said, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." He said, "See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant." These are the promises that Jeremiah has been given. But we go on into the end of chapter number 1. He said, "Thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them." This is the promise that God makes to Jeremiah. "For behold, I have made thee this day a defenced city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land." He said, "And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. Why? For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." And boy, you begin to read those promises, and you begin to read all those things that God had told Jeremiah and the assurances that he had gave him. But then we get to chapter 20, and Jeremiah said, "Lord, you've deceived me. Lord, you've done me wrong. You have deceived me." And he said, "I was deceived." And he said, "You are stronger than I, and you've prevailed over me." Even with all those promises and all the ministry that God had given him, Jeremiah has come to a place where he said, "God, I don't believe you anymore. I don't believe what you're saying anymore. Matter of fact, God, you've deceived me. You've done me wrong. And matter of fact, Lord, you've prevailed against me." And it's so interesting to me that a man who's given promises like Jeremiah has given, you come to a place where he said, "I will not make mention of him nor speak of his name anymore." And man, as you begin to study this, this is not something that just happened to Jeremiah overnight. This is not something where Jeremiah just woke up on a whim and decided to walk away from it all, but this is the culmination of a large group of events that has been taking place in Jeremiah's life to bring him to this climax of saying, "I'm done. I'm through with it all." You say, what would Jeremiah possibly be going through that would bring him to a place like this? Well, I'd say, first of all, tonight, by way of introduction, that Jeremiah is struggling. And this shows us his emotions. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, in spite of all these promises and in spite of all these assurances, Jeremiah has become hurt by all that has taken place around him. As you begin to study the book, you'll find that Jeremiah is hurt because of the wickedness of the people. To Jeremiah falls the task of showing the people of Israel just how sinful they really are. Jeremiah is the doomsday prophet, Brother Danny. He has to go in and just preach the blood and the guts and peel the hide off and hit everything and plow it all up. Jeremiah was not given an easy message to go and preach. He must tell the people they've forgotten the Lord. He said, "You go tell them they've forgotten all about me." In chapter number 5, God comes to Jeremiah. He said, "You go to the city of Jerusalem." He said, "You go throughout all of it. Go out the cities and the highways and the byways." He said, "And see if you can find one man that's standing for the truth." And Jeremiah gets to chapter number 9, and he said, "They be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And they bend their tongue like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord." God told Jeremiah, he said, "If you could find just one man who was standing for truth, Brother Craig, I'd save the city." Right. Jeremiah said, "I couldn't find anybody. They're all adulterers. They're all treacherous men." And Jeremiah has been preaching for all these years, and he's not seeing any results. Nothing's really starting to happen. And Josiah's on the throne, and a great revival has been taking place, and Josiah's reforming the nation. But as the years goes on, that revival becomes short-lived, and the people turn back into sin. And Jeremiah is beginning to get discouraged and upset because he's not seeing any results from his preaching. In chapter number 5, he said this. He said, "I will get me unto the great men, and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord, and the judgment of their God, but these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds." Jeremiah's been preaching, he's been serving God, but everywhere he turns, he can't find anything but sin. He can't find anything but wickedness and depravity on every hand. Jeremiah's struggling with this. He's been called to go and preach to these people, but nobody is listening and nobody is paying him any mind. And it comes to the point in Jeremiah chapter 9, he said, "Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men." Can you imagine if a preacher were to come into a church on a Sunday morning and said, "Y'all are so wicked, you're so corrupt, and I've preached and I've done everything I know to do, and I'm gone because you won't listen. I'm gone because you're not listening, you're not paying any attention." That is the place to which Jeremiah has come. He's struggling with the wickedness of the people. But then I'll say this, that Jeremiah is struggling because of the weight of the message that he's been given. Because Jeremiah, as I said before, is a doomsday prophet. And Jeremiah, as in all the other books, is given places where he offers the people an opportunity to repent. But most of Jeremiah is about the judgment that's coming. Jeremiah is about the destruction that's going to take place, and Jeremiah is warning them of the consequences of their sin and the things that are going to happen to Jerusalem because of the weight of their sin. And God is merciful, but not forever. Jeremiah is told this. He's told, "Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry nor a prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble." Jeremiah is given a message to go and to preach, and to tell them, God is not going to listen to you. You've gone too far. It's over. It's done. Judgment is coming. The weight of this message was horrendous upon Jeremiah. Jeremiah has to tell the people that the city is not going to be saved, as the prophets are declaring. He's going to have to tell them the men are going to be slain, the women and children are going to be taken captive, and their city is going to be destroyed. That's the message that Jeremiah is given to preach. And he's given things like this in Jeremiah 13 and verse 14, where God says, "And I will dash them one against another, even the fathers and the sons together, saith the Lord. I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but destroy them." Nobody wants to preach a message like that. Jeremiah is told to say this, "They shall die of a grievous death. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth. And they shall be consumed by the sword and by famine, and their carcasses shall be for meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth." We begin to study Jeremiah and his ministry, and we find that he's struggling because of the wickedness of the people, but the weight of the message that Jeremiah is given to carry this burden, to have to go tell people that judgment is coming and God's not going to hear your prayers. What a message he was given to preach. But then I would say this, that Jeremiah is struggling because of the worth of his ministry. Because Jeremiah is faithful. Jeremiah does exactly what God has told him to do. Jeremiah preaches, "Thus saith the Lord," fully understanding why all these things are going to happen to Israel. Blakey struggles with why these things are going to happen to him. He can understand why Israel should be punished, and he can understand why Israel should be destroyed, because he can see their sin, but he knows that he's lived clean, and he's lived pure, and he's done what God has commanded, and he doesn't understand why he has to suffer too. He doesn't understand why bad things are happening to good people, and why is it that he has to suffer with everybody else when the nation is destroyed. Go with me, if you would, to chapter number 12 and verse number 1. Jeremiah is going to have a conversation with God. Jeremiah is concerned and Jeremiah is confused about exactly why all this is taking place to him. He said in Jeremiah 12 and verse number 1, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are they all happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them. Yea, they have taken root. They grow. Yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter." Go with me, if you would, to chapter 15 and verse number 15. Jeremiah is going to have yet another conversation with the Lord. "O Lord, thou knowest. Remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thine hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual, and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar, and as waters that fail?" Jeremiah is struggling. He can't understand why it is that he has to suffer along with everybody else when he has done nothing wrong. Chapter 18. In verse number 18, Jeremiah is going to have yet another conversation with the Lord. Jeremiah is bothered and concerned by the people who are around him and what they're saying. In verse 18, he said, "Then said they, Come, and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words." So imagine that response to your preaching. Jeremiah said this, "Give heed to me, O Lord, and hearken to the voice of them that contend with me. Shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have digged a pit for my soul. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them, and to turn away thy wrath from them. This is where Jeremiah's heart is. Therefore, deliver up their children to the famine, and pour out their blood by the force of the sword, and let their wives be bereaved of their children, and be widows. And let their young men be put to death, let their young men be slain by the sword in the battle, lest a cry be heard from their houses, when thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them. For they have digged a pit to take me, and hid snares from my feet. Yet, Lord, thou knowest all their counsel against me to slay me. Forgive not their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight, but let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them in the time of their anger. Boy, it'd be real easy to come down hard on Jeremiah, and it'd be real easy to say, Jeremiah, what an awful place and awful things to say, until you remember Jeremiah's been preaching for 20 years. Nobody's listened. Nobody's paid him any mind. They've tried to kill him. They have persecuted him. They have turned their back on him. And Jeremiah's come to the point where he said, God, I just don't understand anything that's happening anymore. None of it's making sense. Jeremiah is struggling. We see his emotion. But then I will say to this, that Jeremiah is suffering. This shows us his environment. Look in the verses that we read in chapter 20 and verse number 1. Jeremiah is not only suffering emotionally, Jeremiah is beginning to suffer physically. The Bible said, Now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things, and he had just come to the temple and prophesied that the temple was going to be destroyed. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which is by the house of the Lord. It's no surprise that Jeremiah is winning no popularity contest, and nobody really is putting him out as most likely to succeed. He's not the most highly favored man in town, and by this time, more than once, his life is going to be in danger. But now, he's going to begin to suffer physically, and not only is he going to suffer, not only mentally, but physically, for no crime other than simply obeying God. In chapter 11, verse 21, we're told that already the men of Anathoth have tried to kill him over his message. The Lord told us, He said, Therefore thus saith the Lord, the men of Anathoth that seek thy life, saying, Prophesy not in the hand of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand. Jeremiah's had men come to him and say, If you don't quit preaching, we'll kill you. And now they're beginning to make good on their threats. Here in chapter number 20, the Bible says that they took him and they smote him and they put him in the stocks, which was by the high gate of Benjamin, which is by the house of the Lord. And so I find the adversary here. The Bible said that it was Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest. I notice his pedigree, as he is a man of distinction born into the priestly realm. His position, the Bible said that he was chief governor in the house of the Lord. And it's amazing that the very man who should have been on Jeremiah's side and believing the word is the one who's persecuting him. And so often it is that when we take a stand for God and we live for God, the very people who ought to be backing us up are the ones who are cutting us in the back. Jeremiah, if he would have thought he had any friends anywhere, it would have hopefully been at the temple, but the Bible says that he heard and he smote Jeremiah. But his problem, look at why he's so upset with Jeremiah. He heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. He's not upset because Jeremiah's lying. He's not upset because of a sin that Jeremiah has committed. He's upset because Jeremiah is obeying the voice of the Lord, the adversary. The affliction, the Bible said, Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet. There's three different things that take place here. He is smitten. They tell us this is more than likely the 39 stripes, save one, that is given to Jeremiah. He's beaten, and then after he's beaten, he's placed into the stocks. And that word stocks, it literally means to wrench, to cramp, to bend up. He is placed in these wooden stocks, his hands and his neck and his feet, and left there to be cramped in a cramped position for 24 hours. And the Bible said not only that it's by the high gate of Benjamin, which is by the house of the Lord. So it's not enough that he's been beaten and not enough that he's been put in the stocks. They brought him out to the very place where yesterday he had prophesied and yesterday he had preached and said, this is what will happen to people who preach like Jeremiah. This is what happens to people who preach like him. Jeremiah has an adversary. Jeremiah's adversary is affliction. But then I notice this, Jeremiah's aggression. Because the Bible said in verse number 2 or verse number 3 that it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. 24 hours later, he's brought him out. And then said Jeremiah unto him, The Lord hath not called thee by thy name Pashur, but Magor-Missabib. For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends. And Jeremiah is going to go on and say, I tell you what, Pashur. He said, God, change your name. He said, it means fear everywhere. He said, you're going to become a terror to your people. He said, you're going to see your friends be killed. He said, you're going to see your city be destroyed. He said, you're going to be taken to Babylon and die there because you're a liar. That's the message that Jeremiah preaches to the man who just beat him, put him in the stocks, and left him for 24 hours. I'd say tonight that Jeremiah is struggling and Jeremiah is suffering, but then I would say this, that Jeremiah is stopping. Because he gets done saying all this to Pashur, Man, all these emotions begin to come to crash down upon him, and all the weight of the messages that he's been preaching and the pain that he's feeling comes down upon him, and he says this, verse 7, after preaching the pasture, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily, everyone mocketh me. Jeremiah is struggling, it shows us his emotion. Jeremiah is suffering, it shows his environment, but Jeremiah is stopping. It shows us his exasperation. Brother Danny, Jeremiah is done. Jeremiah has come to the place where he said, forget about all of it. All those promises that God gave me, God hasn't kept them. He said this, he said, God, you've deceived me. He said, and I was deceived. He said, you seduced me. You tricked me. You lied to me. He said, thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. God, you took me, you deceived me, you took me and used me and you abused me, you cast me away, you've deceived me, you're stronger than I, you've prevailed, I am in derision daily. He said, God, all I did was serve you. All I did was preach your word. And is any of the things that I've said come true? Jeremiah, none of these things had happened yet that Jeremiah had said would happen. None of the prophecies that he had predicted had taken place yet. The city is still standing, the people are still living. Jeremiah said, I'm a ridicule, I'm a failure, and I'm an embarrassment. He said, but more than this, God, you've lied to me. You've deceived me. Jeremiah feels deceived. Jeremiah was looking for results, and he found none. He was looking for revival, but there was no repentance. Jeremiah was looking for a God to deliver him out of trouble, but he forgot that God had never promised to deliver him from trouble. He promised to deliver him out of the trouble. You know what he told Jeremiah in chapter number 1? He said, I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee in the middle of that fight. God didn't promise Jeremiah there wouldn't be any fights, Brother Free, but he said, when you're fighting those battles, I'll be with you then to deliver you. But Jeremiah feels deceived. Jeremiah didn't understand what God meant when he said those things. Jeremiah feels defeated. He said, thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. He said, it feels like I've been wrestling with you and fighting with you and I can't beat you. You've won. Jeremiah feels derided in verse number 8. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me in a derision. Nothing I've said has come true. I'm the embarrassment of the town. But Jeremiah feels done. Jeremiah's come to the point where he can take no more. He's the preacher who's decided to quit preaching, not because he lost faith in the message, but because he lost faith in the master. He didn't lose faith in the prophecy. He lost faith in the God who gave him the prophecy. Jeremiah's struggles and feelings have brought him to the place where he can take no more. Jeremiah says, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Jeremiah said, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't ask to go preach like this. I didn't ask for these sufferings, and I'm going back to where I came from. I'm done. But if you happen to look down at your Bible, we're in Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah's going to go on to write 27 more chapters, 22 more chapters. And then when he gets done with that one, he's going to write a whole other book named Lamentations. That's 5 more chapters. And then we're going to find out that he's going to serve God for 40 more years after this, become one of the longest prophets to ever preach. So what happened? Jeremiah found out how to keep on doing when he was done. Jeremiah found out how, when everything was done, when he was done, when he was finished, when everybody was against him, to just put one foot in front of the other and to keep on walking. You know what God's answer for every one of his struggles was? Every time he came to God, God always just sent him back to preach another message, Brother Freed. He never came and told him it's going to be all right. He never came and told him you're going to make it. He said, oh, you just go tell him the word of the Lord again. When Jeremiah began to suffer and Jeremiah was thrown into the stocks, God didn't come to him with a brand new revelation. Jeremiah, he said, you go preach the pasture. Go tell him that he's a fear and he's a liar. He said, you go out back out there and preach it again. And God's answer for Jeremiah when he gets to his lowest point is to get out there and go preach it again. Jeremiah found out how to keep on doing when he was done. I want to give you about 10 minutes worth of thought tonight on this. How to keep doing when you're done. How in the world did Jeremiah come to the place where he was calling God a liar, a deceiver, and saying he would never mention his name again to go on to preach for 40 more years? The exact same way that when you and I get to the point where we're struggling so badly, and we're suffering so much, and we feel like we can't take another step, the exact same way that you and I will make it. How did Jeremiah make it? How did he keep doing when he was done? Well, first of all, I would say this in verse number 9. He had an internal deposit. Look at what he said there in verse number 9. But his word was, where was it? It was in mine heart. It was a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Do you realize there was not one practical, logical reason in this world why Jeremiah should get up and go preach again? I mean, there is no counselor in the world that would have told him to get back up and do it again. There is no counselor, there is nobody, none of his friends would have said, Jeremiah, you just keep up the good work, you're doing great, everything's going to be all right. There is no earthly motivation for Jeremiah to keep on preaching. And can I tell you now that if you're going to keep going after everything is all done, you've reached your end, you've come to the end of the way, it won't be because of the people that are around you telling you can make it. And it won't be because those friends who are encouraging you to keep on the good fight. And I'm thankful for those, but Jeremiah wasn't looking externally for a way to keep going. Jeremiah said his word was in my heart. And can I tell you now the reason Jeremiah was able to keep going? Because he got his relationship with the Word right. Jeremiah got back into the place where he needed to be with God's Word. And he said, man, I tell you, I really can't quit. There's something inside of me that I can't stop. I can't let it go. Not because of anything anybody else is saying. It doesn't even make any sense for me to keep preaching. But there is something on the inside of me that just will not quit. And there's something that every time I hear that small voice, I just got to go tell him again. Why? Because there's something on the inside was motivating Jeremiah to keep on going. He said, why in the world would God's Word do that for Jeremiah? Jeremiah said in chapter 15, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. And can I tell you now that if you're serving God because of those external influences that are in your life, what the preacher's going to think, what your husband's going to think, what the kids are going to say, who you're going to let down because of the things on the outside, when you get to the point Jeremiah came to, you'll never make it. When Jeremiah kept on going, it was not because of anything that was around him. It was because of God's Word that was within him. Couldn't even quit when he wanted to, Brother Freed. He was trying to quit and he couldn't even do it because of God's Word inside his heart. You say, why was God's Word such a strong motivation? Well, it represented a relationship. Look at whose Word it was. The Bible said there in verse number 9, but His Word was in mine heart. This was a word from the one who had told him, I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. This was the same one who had told him, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. This was the same Lord who told him, I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things do I delight. This was a word from one who said, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of the mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. This was not a word from somebody here on earth, and this was not a word from somebody whose words would come and go and go through one ear and out the other. But Jeremiah had a word in his heart that encouraged him before. It had already been a blessing to him before, and it had already sustained him before. And if Jeremiah was going to make it in the future, he had to go back to the word that God had given him before. And if you're going to make it when everything's done, if you're going to keep on doing when everything has come apart, you're going to have to go back to the Word that God gave you before. Go back to the promises that God gave you before. Pick up the Bible, and it's just the same as it was yesterday. Jeremiah understood that this is coming from somebody who promised me everything. This is the one that I've served for all these years, and he gave me all these promises. He's going to take care of me in the end. I'm going to go back to His Word. The Word that was stirred in his heart wasn't new. It just reminded him of what he already knew. You know what? When you and I get down now, we don't need a new revelation. There is enough in these 66 books to get anybody to heaven. But what we need is to be reminded of what He's already told us. To be reminded of the promises that we have, the promises that He's already given us. What kept Jeremiah going was the relationship that he had with the Word. He didn't get a new revelation. He just got reacquainted with the one that he already had. He said, preacher, I'm struggling. I'm suffering. It's getting hard. It's getting rough. How's your relationship with the Word? Because it's His Word. It's not my Word. It's not the preacher's Word. Every promise in the book, the song says, is mine. And not every one of them is. There's some that go to different people. But the gist of it is that God's never made a promise He couldn't keep. So whoever those promises apply to, they can be trusted because He is faithful and He is just. Jeremiah had an internal deposit. I think it was so important because of the relationship that it represented. But then the message that it represented. Because Jeremiah, beginning verse number 10, tells us why he couldn't stay. He tells us why that his word is in his heart, burning fire shut up in his bones. And he tells us why that he was weary with forbearing and he could not stay. He said in verse 10, for I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Reports say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. Jeremiah tells us why he couldn't hold that word within him. It was because he saw the need that was around him. God opened Jeremiah's eyes to the need and to the murmur and to the slander that was around him. And Jeremiah was reminded that not only was it a word for him, but it was a word for others. Jeremiah understood that who was going to preach the word if Jeremiah didn't? You go all throughout the book, and the Bible talks over and over again about the lying prophets, about the ones who were prophesying that Jerusalem wouldn't be taken and that Nebuchadnezzar wasn't coming, and nobody was proclaiming the truth but Jeremiah. And when Jeremiah was down, God reminded him, Jeremiah, who's going to preach if you don't? Jeremiah, who's going to tell them if you don't? Jeremiah, who's going to give them a word if you're not the one who's willing to stand? Jeremiah, who's going to be a beacon of hope if you're not the one who's willing to shine it? Jeremiah, who's going to be the one to preach my word if you're not the one to be willing? Jeremiah said, I couldn't hold it in because I heard what they were saying around me. And I heard how they were defaming God and defaming His name, and there was such a need around me, I couldn't make it. I couldn't keep it in. Can I tell you now, when you get to the point where you've come, just say it's all done, it's over with, and it's finished, you get your relationship with the Word right, and God will begin to open your eyes to the need that is around you. Right. Who's going to be a light on the job site if you don't? Who's going to be a light at the school if it's not me? Who's going to be a light at the store if it's not you? Jeremiah had his eyes open to the need that was around him. Jeremiah kept on doing when he was done because of the internal deposit. But then Jeremiah had an invincible defense in verse number 11. Verse 10, they begin to talk about how that they're watching Jeremiah. And they're just like Daniel of old, when they set up that decree to trip Daniel up and to catch him while he was praying, they're doing the same thing to Jeremiah, and they're watching over him, and they're wanting to catch him slipping up somewhere, and they're wanting to watch him. They say, report, and we will report it. They say, just give us one little bit of dirt on him. Boy, we'll run as fast as we can to spread it all over town and to bring Jeremiah down. And he tells us about their intentions. He said, we will take our revenge on him. We will prevail against him. Jeremiah hears what they're saying. I mean, can you imagine being the only preacher in town who's telling the truth, and this is what your congregation is doing, tracking you on every hand, trying to find one little thing wrong where they can turn it against you. But Jeremiah said this in verse 11, but the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. Jeremiah got his relationship with the Word right. God opened his eyes to the need that was around him, and he saw the danger. But after he began to get his relationship with the Word right, God began to show him some other things. And he said, Jeremiah, I've been with you the whole time. Jeremiah, I've been right there beside you when you were in the stocks. You may not have seen me, but I was there. Jeremiah, when they were beating you on the whipping post, I was there, and I'll be with you when those persecutors come. Jeremiah got right with the Word, and he got reminded of who was with him. You know what happens so many times when we get down and we get out and we get to the place where we're just done and finished? I guarantee you, most of the time we've forgotten who's been with us the entire time, who never left us, the one who said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. But sometimes it's hard to remember when we're in the stocks. Sometimes it's hard to remember when the weight and we're struggling and against all the suffering that God has brought into our life. Jeremiah had an invincible defense. Jeremiah hoped in an invisible deity. He said in verse 12, but, O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous, seest the reins in the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them. For unto thee have I opened my cause. And we may not always agree with how Jeremiah came to the Lord. I don't agree with you coming to God and calling him a liar at all. But the common denominator is, and the one thing that Jeremiah got right, was that he came to the Lord. And Peter said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Jeremiah got past that point in his life where he was done, not because he went to a counselor, not because he went to a preacher, not because he went to a friend, but as harsh as it was, Jeremiah went to God with his problems. And then in verse number 12, he said this, for unto thee have I opened my cause. Jeremiah was hoping in somebody that he had come to and just spread his cause out before him. So, God, I don't understand it. I don't know why. I don't know why these things are taking place. I don't know why the good is suffering with the evil. I don't understand any of it. But I'm just bringing it to you. If you're going to make it when you get to the point where you're done, it'll have to be because you just come and open your calls up to Him. Say, God, I don't understand it. God, I have no idea why this is taking place in this way. And I hope that we wouldn't be so harsh as Jeremiah was, but to come to Him, pour our heart out to Him, say, God, you have got to help me. This is where I'm at. Jeremiah, there was no debating on where Jeremiah was at in verse number 9. Jeremiah and God were not playing games with each other. Jeremiah was very honest with the Lord. And Jeremiah found out that the way to get through the dark night of the soul was opening his cause to the one that could help him. The very one that he had called a liar and a deceiver. He said, I open my cause unto you. You say, what happened to Jeremiah? Jeremiah found out there was somebody that could keep him going when he was done. Jeremiah got hoped an invisible deity. Lastly, and I'm done, they'll come get us a psalm. Jeremiah was hoped by an infallible declaration. There's no big moment here. There's no light breaking through. There's no light on Damascus Road and Jeremiah is healed and he never suffers again. He never doubts the Lord again. That's not what happens. But it's pretty obvious that Jeremiah has gotten his heart right with God, because in verse number 13 he says, "Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of the evildoers." Jeremiah has come to the place where he's ready to take another step for God. He's ready to get back in the saddle. He's ready to take up the fight again. But it's amazing that after calling on everybody around him to sing unto the Lord, to praise the Lord, he says this in verse 14, "Cursed be the day when I was born." Well, it's not where we expected Jeremiah to go after offering to sing praise unto the Lord, is it? "Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, A man-child is born unto thee, making him very glad. And let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew, and repented not. And let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at the noontide, because he slew me not from the womb. Or that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb to always be great with me. Wherefore came I out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with my shame." It's amazing. Jeremiah has made it through one of the darkest spots in all of your Bible. Jeremiah has made it through one of the bleakest valleys, one of the darkest nights. And it's amazing that a man could go from praising God, singing praises to God, to asking God why he wasn't killed the day he was born. And I don't have any answers for why those things happen. I don't have any answers for why our emotions can go from here to there in a second, but I know they do. I don't have any idea why is it that you can be on the mountaintop in 1 second praising God and shouting to God, and the next minute be in the deepest, darkest valley you've ever seen. I don't understand why that happens, but I know that it does. Jeremiah's not the only one that does it. Jeremiah is not going to go on the rest of his life without any more struggles. You read about Jeremiah, he has a pretty rough ministry. He's not going to go on without any more sufferings. It's going to get worse. He's going to go to the dungeon. He's going to go to the prison. He's going to go to the pit. But Jeremiah is faithful through all of it. Every time he gets into a valley, he comes right back up. And what's amazing to me is, how does he go from saying, "I'll never mention his name," to asking others to sing to his name, saying, "Why did God not kill me?" Amazing progression to me. You say, how did he get from chapter 20 all the way to the end of the book? Look what it says in chapter 21, verse number 1. "The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord." And I don't understand why that there's nothing in life that can be constant. I don't understand why it's so up and down, and I really don't want anything to tell you can hold to that is constant other than the word of the Lord. And what you're going to find throughout all the rest of Jeremiah's life is that every time he got down, every time he got out, every time he got to the point where he was done, there was always a word from the Lord. We're standing all over the building tonight, and I can't promise you that things are always going to go good.